Okay, so being that we're here for the last conversation for Yom Tov Pesach, and so it's just today relating to Pesach, specifically the question of the Afikomen. We know that in the first of the sources, the Haggadah has Arba Bonim, and it mentions the Chocham, Chocham Mo Omer, right? The question, the Chocham is Mo Eidos, Machukim, Mishpatim, Shetiv, Hashem, Lekim, Eschem. That's a Pesach in Parshat Oschana, a Pesach in Chumash. The answer in the Chumash, I don't know what the answer in the Chumash is. The answer in the Chumash is Avodim Hayinu. Right? Not exactly the same paragraph we have Avodim Hayinu, but the phrase Avodim Hayinu appears over there in Parshat Oschana as the answer to that question. But in the Haggadah, the answer is Va'afotayim elo kilkos ha-Pesach in maftir nachar Pesach hafikomen. But you're not allowed to maftir nachar Pesach hafikomen. I don't understand exactly what that means. That's the answer to the Ben Chacham. So first of all, why is that the answer to the Ben Chacham? I mean, it's a prat, it's a detail within the midst of the Afikomen, which we'll talk about today. But what's that, I mean, why is that the response to the Ben Chacham? It's an interesting question. It's a din, it's a halacha, but there are many halachas. So actually, the Rambam and others have a girsa that should say, ad ein maftir in achar Pesach. All the halachas of Pesach up until and including. If you look in the Mishnayos and Pesachim, that Mishnah, it's presented in the Mishnah, Pesachim Perek Yud Mishnah Ches. That's where those words come from, the Arba Bonim, the Chacham's question. And so it should say, that's not where the question is formed, but the Mishnah is the answer to the Chacham. That's a Mishnah Pesachim, Perek Yud Mishnah Ches. Again, not the question, but the answer. It doesn't specify it's the Ben Chacham, but the Baal HaGadah puts it in the Ben Chacham. That phrase, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach HaKomen, appears in the Mishnah, and that's the end of Pesachim. So the idea is he's supposed to teach the Ben Chacham all the dinim up until and including that din. Not exactly the last mishnah. There's another mishnah, technical detail about the Korban Pesach, you know, which comes after that. But pretty much that's the last mishnah in Pesachim, the very end of Pesachim. And therefore, what it means is you teach him all the dinim up until through that particular mishnah. Okay, what does it mean? Ein maftir nachar Pesach v'komen on kuf yutes on beis in Pesachim. So Rashi and the Rashbam both explain over there in that mishnah. So it's 3 and 4. The word maftir and niftarin means when you take leave. Like you say, somebody is niftar mechavero, you take leave. Rachman Aslan, somebody dies. We say that the person is niftar. It's a nice way of saying he took leave. They took leave of us. Okay, so that's the idea. Niftar min a suda, and so on. So here, that's what it means. Losha niftar mechavero, niftar min a suda. You take leave of your meal. Okay, what does taking leave of your meal mean? As Rashi says, mevian mine mesika, you bring out sweets. Ordinarily, for dessert, after your meal, they bring out some cakes, some pies, some cookies, whatever, you know, some sweets to end your meal. So here it says, Ein maftir in achar Pesach v'komen. Here you're not supposed to bring out such a dessert. Ein, as Rashbam writes, Ein misaymin oso b'afikomen. You don't end the meal with the usual afikomen. The word afikomen somehow means treats, sweets, desserts. You don't end the meal with dessert, meaning that nothing should be eaten after you eat the Korban Pesach. Ein maftir in achar Pesach. You don't take leave of the meal after eating the Korban Pesach with afikomen, with the usual types of desserts. That's the Bar Tanura. I'm not going to read everything inside, but the Bar Tanura there, it's verse 5, and that Mishnah Pesach and Perek Mishnah Tes has two interpretations. That's one of them. Others say afikum monaiku. The word afikum is to take out lafuke. Lafuke means exclude, right? We have it many times in Islam. Monaiku, mon, like we've had this year, tikkun mona. Michael Shabbos have tikkun mona. We had it by Tevilas Kelim. Tikkun mona is fixing something, right? Fixing kli. Mon is a kli. So afikum monaiku means take off the old Kelim and bring out new ones. Usually for dessert, in most homes, clear the table, they take out the main dish. Then they bring out the small plates or whatever, the small forks for the dessert. So it says, don't do that. That's the idea. What afikum mon means, mean a mesika, or mean like mon can also mean something sweet, like shlach monos and so on, foods, or it means kalim, whatever exactly it means, you're not supposed to do that after the Korban Pesach. Yeah. Oh, okay, now, what's the reason? Why not? What's the problem with having dessert on Leil Pesach? So that, and Taf Kufi, test amazing. So some 6 of my hokas, Rav and Shmuel. Okay, Rav says, shall you akum mechabur lechabir. Okay, Rav says the issue is as follows. Rashbam explains it at great length in source number 8. Rashbam writes that the purpose of this din is because there is a halacha that when you eat the Korban Pesach, you must eat the Korban Pesach together with the chabura to which you have become a registrant. Okay, Pesach, Korban Pesach is eaten l'minuyo. You have to be one of the minuyim, one of the people appointed or designated or registered to that particular Korban. You couldn't just walk around and have some of the meat from Korban Pesach random with other people. The way it works is, and it's based on Pesukim, the Chumash, and Perek and Beis, and Shmos, or Parzabo, by Parsa Chodesh, details of Korban Pesach. So one of the din is, you have to register, these are the people that are part of this Korban Pesach, this Chabura, this group, different people from a different group. You're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach with somebody else's Chabura. Okay, so according to Rav, the concern here is that, you know, sometimes, I guess, you can't imagine really happening in the Leila Seder, but let's say a typical Friday night, maybe not now because Shabbos is so late, but, you know, during the winter time, a lot of times, after you have supper, you sometimes go to the neighbor and have dessert with the neighbor, right? They have an oneg or something like that, you know. Right? After Friday night dinner, you go eat somewhere else for dessert, especially if you live in close proximity to somebody, the next door neighbor, you're very friendly, so you go over for a piece of cake and some tea, you know, Friday night, right? So the concern here is you might, again, I can't really envision that happening at the Seder, but the idea might be you go over to your neighbor's house, and then they'll still be eating maybe the Korban Pesach meat, and, you know, you may come and eat the Korban Pesach with them. They'll come in, they're still eating, so you have another piece of meat. You'll forget, you won't realize, well, you can't do that. You weren't part of their chabur. Right? So that was the concern. So therefore, they made a rule, says Rab, don't eat anything after you've eaten your Korban Pesach. That's basically the idea. Okay? Even in your, if you didn't leave, even if you stay home, don't eat anything after the Korban Pesach, lest, so to speak, you come to eat something, some Korban Pesach meat somewhere else. Again, you look in the Rashbam, interested in research subject, that long Rashbam, Amar Rab, in source number 8. That's Rav. Shmuel says something else. Okay, Shmuel says it's referring to really dessert. And then do the Korban. Don't eat dessert. Okay, and I give examples. Ardalai, he liked the ardalai, some sort of a mushroom eventually. I don't know if you have that for dessert, but okay, some people like that. And gozlaya is like also a piece of meat, like some type of poultry. Okay, which I guess it says Abba. When Shmuel referred to Abba, he's talking about Rav. Rav's name, the Amora Rav's name was Abba. That was his full name. It's called Abba Richter. It's in the Rebbe. Abba Richter. Daddy Longlegs. Okay, apparently he's tall. Okay, but anyway. So Abba Richter, that was it. So Shmuel referred to him as Abba. See, he would eat that for dessert. At the end of the meal, he would have like one course. Rochanina bar Shel b'yochanami, kilon tamarim, kloyosa, goes, you know, basic dates and nuts and, you know, all these type of things that people eat for dessert. See, people like that for dessert. Okay, modern times would be ice cream, cake, whatever. Okay, you're not supposed to do that. All right, now, what's the matter with that, according to Shmuel? Why not? According to Rav, the whole Xer was that, you know, so you shouldn't eat the meat from the Korban Pesach, but according to Shmuel, what's the problem? So Rashbam writes, third line of 8, the issue is, Shelo ya'abed mimenu tam ha'pesach. You don't want to eat anything, you're not allowed to eat anything afterwards, so that the flavor of the Korban Pesach will not be removed. Usually, you eat something, but then you have sweets for dessert, so that sort of takes over your palate, and that's you having your flavor you have in your mouth, and that's the zero. We don't want anything to happen to be in your mouth after the Korban Pesach meat. You got it? So that's according to Shmuel what the concern is. And I just printed the next couple of sources, the idea of, you know, what the whole din is about. You look in source number 9 in Parshas Bo, it says in Perikin Beis, Alabotim, Alabotim, you have to eat the Korban Pesach in your house. And it says in Memvav, Bebayis Echad Yechel, you know, you have to eat the Korban Pesach meat in one house. Don't bring your meat elsewhere. Okay. Again, certain details. Gemara has that in Pei Vav and Aleph Pesachim. Again, we don't need to go through all the details. Just take a look at the Rambam. We want to look in Source 12. Perik Tes of Hilchos Korban Pesach. Aleph Kol Ochel Menat Pesach. Eino Ochel Ele B'Chabura Achas. You have to eat in one Chabura. And even if you are eating with one Chabura, you don't take the meat and go somewhere else. Ein Motzin Mimenu Min Chabura Shio Chabura. Okay, in other words, you get to Malchus and so on. And Halacha, hey, the Rambam writes, "Ain in that car in mechabur lechabur." You can't just float around and eat with meat with a different chabur. So according to Rav, that was a concern. So therefore, to avoid any of those problems, make sure you don't eat anything after you've eaten the Korban Pesach. Okay, that's the Rambam. And then according to Tosefta, fine. According to Shmuel, what's the issue? According to Shmuel, it has to do with Tam Pesach b'fiv. Now, we need to understand, and what's clear from all this, is that whatever hold, like Rav or Shmuel, the Korban Pesach is supposed to be the last thing you eat. In other words, that was the dessert. That was not the main course. Korban Pesach was not the main course. Korban Pesach, as you know, is brought on the day that we call Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, in the afternoon, Monday, next Monday, Monday afternoon. They bring the Korban Pesach in the afternoon, okay? But they wouldn't eat it then. Normally, we have a Korban, as soon as you bring the Korban and it's all done, you can eat it, right? And you have the rest of that day to eat it, the whole next night. Or it's a Korban Shomim, not only that, but the next day also. Not so the Korban Pesach. You can't, Korban Pesach, you have to eat. You can't eat until the nighttime. You bring it in the afternoon, Korban Pesach, right? The Mishnah describes it. Remember, there are three groups. I'm talking about the three different groups came to to bring the Korban Pesach in the afternoon. The first group, they'd fill up the whole Azor, and then they'd close the gates, okay? And then that group would leave, and the next group would come in, and the third group would come in, right? I always said, I know which group I'd be in for sure, okay? Definitely the third group, no doubt about it, right? But, you know, the Yekas, whatever, would come to the first group. Okay. Anyway, at the end of the day, they had these three groups, but you wouldn't eat the meat, then you wouldn't eat the meat till nightfall, right? So, but that was not your main course. What was the main course? So here we have a statement to Pasuk Parshas Re'eh, verse 15, in Parshas Perek Tezan and Torah Pasuk Beis, is the Vachta Pesach Hashem Alkecha Tzonu Vaka. The remaining, the last day of Pesach, Achon Shal Pesach, we'll read this in Parshas Re'eh. Okay, it says you should slaughter the Korban Pesach Tzon Ubakar. Tzon is smaller types of animals, sheep, lambs, and so on. Bakar is like a cow, a bull, bigger animals, right? So 1 second, okay. The Korban Pesach in Parshas Bo, it says in Perikud Beis, Pasuk Kain, so 16, it says, Set Samim Zachar Ben Shana Yelachem. The Korban Pesach has to be a sheep 1 year old, a small animal. Minakvasim and Ezim, right? So the Zavachta Pesach, that's what it says. Minakvasim and Ezim. What do you mean? Sonu Bokar. What's Bokar? Bokar is not eligible for the Korban Pesach. It's a bigger animal. Okay, so Rashi says in Chumash, okay, Ubokar Tizbach Lechagiga. Lechagiga. Now, there is every yontif, all Shal Shugon, Pesach Shal Sukkis, you have to bring among the different korbanos something called the Korban Chagiga. Korban Chagiga. Okay, Korban Chagiga was the one on Pesach, one on Shulis, one on Sukkis. You bring it the first day or second day, Chalamot, you know, you can bring the Korban Chagiga. And they eat the meat. That's part of the celebratory busser for any yontif. Although the Torah does not specify it exactly, there was another Korban Chagiga brought on Erev Pesach in the afternoon accompanying the Korban Pesach called the Chagigas Yudalid. Chagigas Arbosar. That's its nickname in Chazal. The Chagigas Arbosar. Okay. All right, so take a look at the Gemara Pesach, Ayin of an Aleph. Source 18 speaks about Chagiga Habo Im HaPesach. The Chagiga that came along with the Korban Pesach, that means on the 14th in the afternoon. That's called the. Besides, there's another Chagiga on Pesach itself, which is parallel to the Chagiga of Shavuos and Sukkot, the Yontif Chagiga, but there's not that. There's on Erev Pesach, there's an additional Chagiga brought. And that was, as the Gemara says there in 18, Pesachim Ayin Aleph, Kletanya, Chagiga Aboy Ma Pesach Necheles Tchila. That was eaten first. That could be Minabokar. That could be, that's what it means, Minah Bokar, when it's on the Tzol, was the Korban Pesach, a smaller animal. But the Korban Chagiga was a larger animal, and that was eaten first. Kedei Sheh Pesach Nechal Al HaSova. The Korban Pesach was eaten when you were basically already full. Al HaSova means you're satiated. Rechat HaSavata. Right? When you're already full, that's the Korban Pesach, the Kezias, the Korban Pesach, a little piece of meat, you have at the end, after eating the main, you know, the main Korban. Right? That's what Rashi says. You'd enjoy it, and you wouldn't be so ravenous when you eat it. That's how the Rambam paskins. Hilchos Korban Pesach Perches Halacha Gimel Mitzvah Min Amuvchar Lechol B'sara Pesach Achilas Sova. The proper thing is not absolutely required, but the proper thing, the Mitzvah Min Amuvchar, is the Korban Pesach meat should be eaten Al HaSova. Okay, I mean when you're full, and therefore if you brought the Korban Shlomim, the Chagiga was a Korban Shlomim Bar Basar. So ochama and tchila, and then you eat the b'sara pesach kedelis bo mimenu. Sometimes you got a whole dinner, not just ala sov, but kedelis bo. That fills you up. Okay, fine. And you can just eat it kezayis. All right. Now, so that's the din. Now, what another aspect of that din, I just printed here the next couple of sources, the word afikomen, because what actually comes out, okay, the Rambam in the Perush Mishnah there in Pesach and Perek Yudah and the Mishnah Ches writes Afikomen. He writes peros, fruits. A lot of times people serve fruits for dessert, right? Things that are brought out after the meals. Their onim, pluyim, tainim, raisins, nuts. You know, dessert food. Okay. Rabbi Kibager points out there in the Mishnah Pesach and Perek Yudah Mishnah Ches that the word Afikomen, it's very nice to have all these drushes. Afikumam. But at the end of the day, it's a Greek word. That's what Rabbi Kibager is. You have nice drushes. Sof, he says it's loshen yovam. Okay, it's a Greek word. We have a nice drush of Yochas Chaim, where he wanted to be shown him in Seder LePesach. That's a Greek word. Lashni Vani Afikomen. Okay, whatever it means. Okay, the Ma'aril also. All right, you don't need anything after that. Now, the another point to mention is now one of the reasons why Korban Pesach is supposed to be eaten Al HaSova, okay, when you're full or when you're you've already eaten something else. Look back in Source 9. It says there's a din be'etzem lo sishperu bo. You're not allowed to eat the bone of the Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to break the bone of the Korban Pesach. Special din a carbon pesach. What's the idea? That's the thing. You're not going to break the bone. Now, I just imagine a barbecue. You're invited to a barbecue, a nice warm summer's afternoon, and they're barbecuing chicken wings, right? Then they come off them. I'll speak for myself. They're delicious, right? We love them. And don't you, when you eat the chicken wing, like you chew on the bone a little bit, right? You get the flavor out. You suck the flavor out. Or you suck the flavor out of chunk bones, right? Some people like to put that in their mouth and chew it out, get the marrow out. Very flavorful. And you end up cracking the bone. That's okay. With the carbon pesach, there's a din etzem lo sish burbos. Pasuk says in parts of the bone, in Shmuel's Perkin base, Pasuk Memvav, back in source 9. So, concerning, you know, if you're really hungry, you're starved. It's a Seder night, you know? It's a Seder night. And by the time you get up to the meal, you're pretty hungry, you know? Right? You're having sitting there for a long time and lots of Divrei Torah, and kids have pamphlets and everything else, and all these Divrei Torah if the kids are up. But anyway, it's so late now. But my wife asked me, can't the Rabbanim do something without the Seder? Like, it's supposed to be the kids, you know, we're going to start till 9:45. What's going on? All right, what can we do? We can't change his mind. So you're hungry by the time the meal rolls around. All you've eaten in the last 2.5 hours is a half a kazayas of celery, right, for karpas, and you had a cup of wine, and I think you're full. So if you're really hungry, the time you eat the korban pesach, you'll mamish be ravenous, you'll chew it up, you'll chew the bones, and so on. So therefore, if you go ahead and eat the korban chagiga meat first, by the time you get to the korban pesach, you're pretty full, so you're not going to be so ravenous and so starved, you end up chewing on the bones. Got it? Okay, that's an idea. But if we stopped here, okay, we'll look at a moment at 25. This would, the whole machlokas would have very little bearing on anything to do today because we're not carbon pesach anyways. So we're not eating the meat with another group and so on. And you know, okay, so it's a nice machlokas. Hilchos HaMashiach, right? The days of Mashiach, we'll figure out what to do. We take a look at source 25. So here we find something interesting. Amar Yehud Amar Shmuel. Ein maftir nachar matzah afik. Even though the Mishnah said, Ein maftir nachar pesach, dinu carbon pesach. Shmuel, the same Shmuel, gave the reason before about the flavor. Shmuel says, "Ein maftir nachar matzah fikum." The Gemara asked right away, "What do you mean? That's not what the Mishnah said." The Mishnah said Pesach. Okay, so the Gemara said, "No, it means matzah also. It means matzah also. Ein maftir nachar matzah." And both Rashi and Rashbam, next couple of sources, okay, 27 and 28, they both explain that really, let's remember the days of the Beis Hamikdash when they eat the matzah with the Korban Pesach. Right, the matzah accompanied Korban Pesach. Yeah? So the truth of the matter is the matzah that we eat, is the matzah we eat in those days, the matzah in those days with the Korban Pesach, right? Hillel made the sandwich out of it, you know, Korach, right? But whatever they did exactly, the matzah was with the Korban Pesach. So both Rashi and Rashbam say that we have to eat matzah at the end of the meal too. We call that what? The Afikoman. It's funny because the real word afikomen referred to the dessert which came at the end, but we call the matzah that we eat at the end in Sofon, we call that the afikomen because that becomes ipso facto the dessert, right? That becomes a dessert. Afikomen becomes a dessert. That's the last thing you eat. Why? So it says, because Zeicher Rashi and Rashbam wrote, right? Zeicher lematzah and Echam Zah Pesach. It's a remembrance, just like the Korban Pesach was the last thing you ate in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, after you had the main course of the Korban Chagiga meat, then you ate a little kezias of Korban Pesach meat. We don't have that. So we have the Afikomen as a Zeicher to what? To the Korban, the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach. That's the Afikomen. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, according to some Rishonim, the Rashi and Rashbam talk about that's actually the main mitzvah of matzah. The afikomen is the main mitzvah of matzah. Rashi and Rashbam both right. That which we make al achilas matzah earlier, right, by motzi matzah, you know, before the meal. Okay, that's because you have to make. That's not really the obligation. The real obligation of matzah is the afikomen. Okay, now I've never met anybody who's ever said when you get up the afikomen, oh, goody, we get to eat another piece of matzah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, not exactly, you know, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but you're pretty full after the meal. Like, oh, another piece of matzah? Oh, okay. Right? I mean,
go back up to these massive
season. Yeah, myself included. But the only way you have to, because I said probably the size of your hand, palm of your hand, you know. But okay, if you do it, yeah, it's not always easy. It's a mitzvah. We should be excited about a mitzvah, but at the end of the day, it's not always so easy. I remember when I mentioned the past to the others. There was a rabbi in Englewood, New Jersey, when I was growing up. I grew up in teenager. His name was Rabbi Swift. He was this from South Africa, I think, and he had a very distinguished accent, you know, like very distinguished British South African accent. He was a very powerful speaker. He was invited all over the country to speak at different dinners and whatnot. So my wife and uncle, still alive, I know, you know, and he told me once he lived in St. Louis, and there was some kind of a dinner in one of the shuls, or for, I don't know if it was for the shul or for some stalker, whatever it was, and Rabbi Swift was flown in for the dinner to be the keynote speaker. So my uncle described to me, it was one of those dinners where there were like six speeches, okay, five or six before Rabbi Swift got up. It was just like the dinners are just interminable, this one. Now a lot of times they have videos, okay, but you know, it was just like a lot of speeches. And finally they called up Rabbi Swift, you know, and he said, in an affair like this, when I'm called up to speak, he said, my uncle told me, I feel like the Afikoman, completely undesirable and totally indigestible. That's it. Who wants to have another spirit, right? Okay, but Baruch Hashem, the mitzvah, we should do it back. There's some person said in some HaKadosh, the Shlomo, he felt you should not talk from the time you say Allah Chilas Matzah, the Motzi Matzah, to Afikoman. Now that's a neat trick. We should, because that's the real Allah Chilas Matzah, we say at the beginning of the meal. Why? About to eat some matzah, you have to wash, right? You have a can of bread, you have to wash. So the male, you're going to eat matzah, you may as well say the bracha. Yeah, it can look funny to say bracha, alakhalas matzah later, when you already ate a piece of matzah. So the male, we say alakhalas matzah at the beginning, by motzi matzah. Okay, but that's not the real ikr of matzah. The real ikr of matzah is later, but afikomen. So we should treat the afikomen seriously. You know, and I don't want to, I mentioned this also in the place, I don't want to spoil it for any of the kids. You know, but you know, the children, like, they swipe the Afikoman, right? Well, and then you extort your parents for something or other, you know, right? The present that you want. The truth is, though, strictly speaking, you don't have to eat that piece of meat that was broken, a piece of chomet, matzah that was broken by yachatz. You can take a different piece. Okay, I don't want to mess anything up. The kids should be excited about it.
Still have all the matzah in here.
Still hold the matzah, right? So, very smart. We had a story once. One of my sons, now he's in his early 30s, you know, but he was 8 or 9, whatever it was, he stole the matzah. Okay, good. And of course, he fell asleep. Okay, we couldn't find it. And there was no waking him up. I mean, he was shaking him, and he's dead to the world. And, okay, so I said, all right, we'll go on. What can we do? We'll get another piece of matzah and invite him. He slept. It was a second Seder. We totally forgot about it. You know, it was the second night. We went on, and then they was Yantif, and basically continued. And we totally forgot. We didn't ask him. He forgot about it. We forgot it. The following year, the night of Bedikas Chametz, okay, the following year, I was searching in one of my drawers, and I opened a drawer, and under some papers, there was that piece of matzah that he had hidden the year before, in the little matzah bag, you know, completely forgot about it, and it was in the back of some drawer someplace, and then I found it, you know, fresh as always, a year later. Okay, anyway, so, but Afikoman is important. I'm not trying to, I don't make jokes, I'm not trying to downplay it, but in any event, the halacha is, you have to eat the afikoman and the zecher, and that's what the Rashi is brought about. The zecher, you know, to the matzah was eaten with the korban pesach. So Shmuel says the same din applies to matzah as well. Okay, the same din applies, and that's what you have in the Shulchan Aruch too. Okay, in Arachaim Shmitofayin Zayin in source 28, right? Din echelas afikoman la'achar gmar kol osudu ochem matzah shmur tachas amapa kazayis kol echad zecher lepesach and echelas sova yochzaneh be'seva v'lo yivoy. You're not making another bracha. We said it already. Yehizor lechakonam chatzot, a different din. And you should do that, and that's afikoman. That's the matzah. So you're supposed to eat that. And apparently, according to you, shouldn't eat anything else after that. I mentioned levush or chashuv, and they wonder why this became called the afikoman. Okay, but it did. Okay, it became known as the afikoman. Okay, now, all right. Let's move down to. So let's go down to Ramban. Ramban of Mechamas and Pesachim Chav Vav and Brazen, page of the Rif. In 32. Okay, again, discuss the Tosos and Pesachim Kuf Chav. And I'll discuss a little bit about the Afikoman. It's the last piece of matzah. And Tosos wonders why they extended the din to matzah if the whole din by the Pesach was it wouldn't break the bones and so on. Okay, but that's not two by matzah and not breaking any bones. Okay, that's a question we connected. And Tosos ends, you know, 31. Tosos ends by saying it has to be the bein and sheitam matzah will pesach. The idea it can't be. It extended it to matzah, but let's remember the one who extended it to matzah was Shmuel. Okay, look back in source 25. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel, who said it wasn't a din by breaking up, we're afraid you're going to eat the korban pesach somewhere else. No, it's a din. You should have the flavor. So he says the same thing applies to matzah. You want to have the flavor of the matzah in your mouth too, right? So that applies to what Tosafot points out. Ramban also that you want to show that the mitzvah is beloved to us and so on. Okay, then that's why I want to make sure you have matzah. We don't have the korban pesach anymore today. Okay, so we have instead matzah that becomes the ikar mitzvah nowadays. Well, so therefore we should have, that should be the last thing, ala soba. Okay, and after that you don't need anything else. I just want to point out an interesting thing, right? That Kobo says, well, take a look at 34 of the Balamor. Balamor is another din altogether, very interesting din. Okay, the Balamor and the Miri, they write something else. And Balamor says, you know what we're afraid of by matzah also? We're afraid, ordinarily speaking, regular Friday night, regular yontif, right? What do you do after your meal's over? After dessert, then you bench. You leave. And what do you do after your benching? Go to sleep, go to learn, whatever, go for a walk. You leave, it's over. But Pesach night, it's not over after benching. What's still left to do? Halal, it's the Seder's not over. So the Balamor says the idea is to have something in your mouth that reminds you of the carbon of the still Pesach night. You have the flavor of, oh yeah, I got to finish the Seder, right? That's what he writes. So Yafsid Kriyas Halal. Okay, you don't want to forget about Halal, so to speak. Because you have the flavor of your mouth. If you treat it like an ordinary Friday night or any other, you have some dessert on your bench and then go home, go to sleep, whatever, leave. But Pesach night, you can't leave yet. Okay, so that's not done yet. All right, so that's what he says. And the Ravid, printed in source 35, the Ravid talks sharply about the Rambam. Sometimes we know that. The Ravid also has a work that they call Kos of Shom. Okay, it's his Hasagos and the Balamor. Many times it's printed in the back of the Gemara. It's a separate table. The cost of Shaman. The Ravid, Amar Avram, 35. But Emes Ubarzea Tam below Tam. This reason has no Tam to it. He thinks it's below Rav. It's not right. I'm not going to do that. But okay, some people all like the Miri seems all like that as well. I think so. This reason has no flavor. They don't think it's got to do with the Halal. But okay, whatever the reason is, the din is on Shmuel as well. You have to continue to eat. The matzah should be the last thing you eat. Whatever the exact reason would be. It's not just din by carbon Pesach. Rav Soloveitchik once suggested a different reason. Very interesting. Okay. We know the Mechilta, printed in 37, the Mechilta in Rabbi Shmuel, and we have basically that same text in the Haggadah. It's in the Haggadah. Remember the Haggadah after the Arba Bonim? Yochol Merosh Chodesh. Remember that? Yochol Merosh Chodesh. Right? And so that's it from the Mechilta. In 37, in Chulda Rishmon, Bo, Mesif to the Pisco, Parshi Yud Zayin, we got it to the Mincha, Shomei Ani Merosh Chodesh. What does Yochol mean? Yochol means the Havamina. Havamina, Yochol, Shomei Ani Merosh Chodesh. Maybe, and what's told, we got it to the Mincha, is the mitzvah of Sipri Yisus Mitzrayim. Maybe the mitzvah of Sipri Yisus Mitzrayim starts when? On Rosh Chodesh already. To begin learning about Yisus Mitzrayim, right? Rosh Chodesh. Why Rosh Chodesh? Achodesh Elachan Rosh Chodeshim. Right, this is Nisan. We begin preparing for the Korban Pesach and for Yom Tov Pesach. So maybe the mitzvah, the Mechilta and the Seder, Alagoda, has a Havamina, Yochum Rosh Chodesh. Maybe start Rosh Chodesh. This is the season, this is the month, right? We're doing it right now. We're learning the Dinim in so in advance. So maybe there's such a key and also secret since I've been before. Whereas the Mechilta says, no, Pamad over by Omahu, just that day. The mitzvah only that day. Maybe you should be able to start early in the day. I just mentioned before. It's really nice for the kids, especially so late. No. The only time there's a mitzvah of Sipri Yisus Mitzrayim is when the time of Matzah and Mor, which is only at night, right? And the days of mitzvah is a Korban Pesach. Okay? And that's the halacha. And it's interesting, just as a side point, okay, some people have a minute. I have it myself. What in the Rosh Hashanah, but I'm all brings. But some people on Shabbos HaGadol say part of the Seder. Have you heard that minute? We'll say from Avodim Hayinu, and also, right, from Avodim until after Dayenu. After Dayenu, you have a list of the same 15 things without the word Dayenu. And it has L'chaper al-Kovan Oseinu. So many people have that practice too. The Ramo brings it to say on Shabbos HaGadol, to say the part of the Haggadah. Okay, I remember some Haggadahs even print. After Lechapra, I'm going to say in parentheses, Ad Kan Omer Mishabbos Hagadah. Okay, when I was a little kid, I thought you were supposed to say that. I thought that was part of the Haggadah. Ad Kan Omer Mishabbos Hagadah. It's not. It's a direction. It's not part of the text. Anyway, so that's Ramor. The Vilna Gaon does not like that minute. Because he says, no, based on this Mechilta, there's no mitzvah of Mishabbos Hagadah. It's B'shosh Shish Matzo Mor Melachol Vanevo. Okay, so you follow whatever minute. The Ramor has the minute. The world doesn't think the minute is right. He thinks, I don't know, it's hard to say it's usher, but he says that it's, he says, not an accurate meaning because, anyway, I quoted his shochar up something else, we'll leave that out, but that just needs to be aware that that exists. So one second. So here he talks about something else, which I'm not mentioning right now. Where does this, what's the idea? Why is it that Matsumor Marachal Fanema? Why does it have to be? I'd say it says in Chilton. So the truth is, it's probably based, you look in 41, a Pasuk Parshas Ray. Okay, the Varm Perk design Pasuk Gimel, again, the last day, basically, we learned it. It calls Matzah, Shivas Yom Tochal of Matzos, Lechem Oni. Matzah is nicknamed Lechem Oni. What does Lechem Oni mean? The usual definition? Poor man's bread, the word Oni, right? Only $35 a box. Okay, Lechem Oni, poor man's bread. Okay, all right, you know, but why is it called poor? It's just simple ingredients, flour and water. Why does it cost so much? Okay, it's a good question. That's for the baking and the shmir and everything else. All right, still a lot of money. Anyway, but it's called Lechem Oni. But the Gemara in Pesachim Lamed Vav and Aleph, 42, has another definition of Lechem Oni besides that. The word Oni from the word Oned means to what? To answer, to respond. It's called Lechem Sha'on. It's called Lechem Oni. You know why? Lechem Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbi. It's bread, food, concerning which we answer many questions. That's why it's called Lechem Oni. We do. We have all these questions in it, right? And the truth is, the matzah is supposed to be exposed, open, you know, out there when you're doing the Haggadah, right? When you make Kiddush, it's covered, like we cover the Challah. But when you start Avodah Hayinu, you're supposed to make sure the matzah is revealed. It's open. You take it out of the cover, whatever, since it's visible. It's supposed to be visible. Except when you pick up the wine, like by Mihisham, they pick up the wine, so you cover the matzah again. It's like, you know, Kiddush with the broken wine takes over. But other than that, the matzah should be out during Maggid, because Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onu Lo Dvarim Harbe. Right? We talk about many things with regards to the matzah. All right? Now, what are the many things? The Rashi makes an interesting comment, 43, Pesachim Lam Vav and Aleph. She'onu Lo Dvarim Harbe. She'gomrim Olav Esahalo Va'omri Lo Hagadah. We say Halo and the Hagadah. Now, the Haggadah I get, the Rashi throws in Hallel also. Now, Cyprius is Mitzrayim, you can argue. Hallel is part of that, not just tell the story, but to thank Hashem. Okay, but there's a problem. When we say Hallel at the Seder, there's no matzah on the table. I mean, I guess you could have some pieces, but you ate the matzah already. Oh, so hold on. So let me phrase the question, you're correct. I said some answer like that. You understand the question. What do you mean by Hallel is it after benching, right? So. I mean, there might be some crumbs left or some pieces left, but in terms of the mitzvah of matzah, it's done already by the time you get up to Hallel, right? So what do you mean going around? So some say it means the first two paragraphs of Hallel, like Arya said, that's in Maggid, that's before. The language of Gemara is Gomel, the Rashi, Gomel is Hallel. Okay. So there are many answers to that question, but Salvechik suggested that maybe that's the reason why you should have the tom of matzah in your mouth. Meaning what? You don't have the matzah by the time you say halal, but it's like it's still there. If you taste it, you have the flavor in your mouth, so then it's still lechem oni she'on lo dvarim harbe, gomer sahala. Interesting idea. Maybe that's why we don't say, I'll get to one in a second, but maybe that's why we don't eat anything after the matzah, so that by the time you get up to halal, even though there's no actual matzah on the table, the flavor is still lingering in your mouth. In stomach, it lingers a long time. But in your mouth, it lingers for a while. That's the idea. That's what somebody suggested. Okay, interesting. I didn't print it, but Rabbi Yochanan Perlo, I mentioned in the past, and you know, Rabbi Nosadja Gaon wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. We list off all 613 mitzvahs. But it's not like the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, and it's not like the Chinuch. It goes into great detail. He wrote basically a poem, okay? And it's an alphabet acrostic, which he goes through the alphabet a couple of times, and he has two or three words for every mitzvah. Somewhat cryptic, and you know, and explain it, do this, do that, just lists off all the mitzvahs, the entire mitzvahs. Sometimes they call that the Azharos. As Horos and Gematria's Tariag. So list of six Azharos. Even Gaviro did such a thing. So sort of Sadri going. So Ruch Meshul Perlo, who was a Tamachachim in Europe in the late 1800s, early 1900s, wrote an extensive commentary on Rabbeinu Sadri Gaon's Sefer HaMitzvos, who explains in detail what each one of these little phrases means. And not only that, but then he tells you what everybody else has to say about those mitzvahs too. So the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rabbeinu Sadri Gaon, if you printed it, would probably be about six pages. Okay, it's short, it's like a poem, you know, just an alphabetical course, listing them. With the commentary of the official prelude, it's three fat volumes. Okay, it's available. I have it home, it's in the base. It basically have one line from Sadigo and then 24 pages from Ruch Prelo. So everything you want to know about all the mitzvahs, it's a wonderful sefer. If you're ever doing research on mitzvahs, want to see what all the Rishonim and Gonim have to say about those mitzvahs, it's a not that it's Ma'aseh Kohen, but it's an encyclopedic work on the mitzvahs. Anyway, it's, again, it's called the Sefer Mitzvah of Inesadu Gaon, but that's just the springboard. And he has all the summary of what all the other Bona HaMitzvah said, why this one counted, that one didn't count it, and what the subsumed under, whatever else. Okay, anyway, so he had a suggestion here that eating matzah at the end, he compared it to a din. You might remember this mission from Rosh Hashanah. Remember the mission says that on Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash, they blew the shofar, but they also blew the chatzotzos. But they extended the shofar longer. Why? Remember the middle, because the mitzvah of the day, the shofar. And the reverse on a Tanis Tzibur. On Tanis Tzibur, the main mitzvah is harosim chatzotzos. They blew the shofar too, but on Tanis Tzibur, they extended the chatzotzos longer because that's the mitzvah. So he said, you see from there, whatever is the mitzvah, you do longer, you do more. So he said, that's why you matzah again at the end, okay, to do more. Okay, anyway, at the end of the day, that's the din, so you shouldn't have anything after eating the matzah. And that's what it says, Shulchan Aruch, look at 46. Achar afikomen ein lechol shum davar. Okay, there you can't say it much more clear than that. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch rules, okay, after eating afikomen or anything else, that's it. Okay, you know, anything else. And that's what we do. The Chag Yankov on the page, the Cotton Aleph says, b'di'evet, if you did, you don't have to eat the afikomen again. Okay, what's if somebody forgot and he had something to eat afterwards? Okay, it doesn't disqualify the afikomen. Okay, Aruch HaShulchan also says like that, okay, in 48, he also said, b'di'evet. However, I don't agree with that. Look at the Mishnah Berurah in 49, the Cotton Aleph, he says, b'di'evet, ochar shum davar, yachzor v'yochol, v'nais matzah. Shmura, l'shem afikomen. Guess what? The Shmura said, if you ate something else, guess what? Got to eat another piece of matzah. That might be incentive, not to anything else. But that's how the Shmura said, do you have it? Got to eat that afikomen. It's not machlokes. Again, we don't have to go into that, but that's the idea. Okay? And, yeah. So that takes care of that. Now, the question is, somebody might be asking, if there is something we do after afikomen, we still have two more cups of wine. Right? We still have the cup three after benching, cup four after challah. Okay, so some discussion in Poskim here is what's the story with drinking? Maybe drinking doesn't count. Okay, and the truth is, it makes a certain amount of logical sense. When you drink something, so when you eat something, you chew it, and you know, it's in your mouth, right? After you've had the steak, whatever, the flavor's in your mouth, right, for a while. Drinking, it goes down quickly, so it doesn't have the same lingering effect in your mouth. So that's a question about drinking. Okay, so there's some question about it. I take a look in the Rashbam, Tuchot Medalach, source 50, in Divamasa Harry Dover, he says, Avostias Yayin lo miftalei. See that at the end of Rashbam? The Shtia lo mbatla chilamine. Shtia does not nullify the eating flavor. Okay, so there's no problem drinking. Okay, and that's what Tosus also says, that he says some say no, it even applies to drinking. Masha, some aser even drinking water, okay, afterwards. But he says, but drinking is not a problem. Anyway, the different sheet is about that as well. Okay, does drinking do it? Does drinking not do it? Can you drink other things besides the wine? With the wine, you could argue got no choice. The mitzvah, okay, the mitzvah are makosa. What about drinking? What about drinking other things? Okay, the Machzor Vitri from the Beis Medrash Rashi in Hilchos Pesach in Ayin Hay in 52. Okay, the Machzor Vitri writes, "Umishum ein maftir and leka ela ba'ochel." He holds the only problem of food. Okay, and Agos Maimonides also writes in the Rambam Perakres Alav Yud in 53, "Shum matzah v'tosar arvisachem shemutar lishtos kol alayla bein yayin bein mayim." You can drink wine or water, whatever, no problem drinking. Okay, and he says also no smem. He says the same thing. There's lo osu el alecho. Okay. However, at the end he writes, since people argue, look at the end of Os Mem and Agos Minus and Parakes, Agos Maimonides and Parakes, 53, right to the end. Tov lino kedivergon and delayed the low yishta alamayim. Don't drink abricos, you have to drink, but don't drink anything else other than water. Okay, that's what some suggest. Okay. And again, the Chok Yaakov, he quotes the Machlok. Again, the Machlok is what's included. It's interesting, the Rokeach also, you look in 55, he quotes, Yesh Ka'onim Sha'osrim Bein Yayin Bein Mayim. Some take the other extreme. Now he can't drink wine other than the Arba Kosar. Can't drink water either. Pen Yofik Tama Matzah. Okay? And he says, others say, no, you can drink wine. You can even drink between the Arba Kosar again. So I don't need to go through the whole and all the details here, but you can see it's actually interesting. Machlokas, what exactly is included in this? Okay. Okay. So let's move now to Well, Avram, 57, he writes, who are the Indosolishtos? He thinks drinking is included. Again, other than the Arbakos, you have no choice. He thinks drinking is included. So that again, that's a bit of a machlokas in the poskim. The later poskim talk about drinking other things. Okay. But first of all, let me show you the Rambam. Okay. The Rambam is also pretty clear. Perkes halacha yud 59. Klum kol halayla chutz min amayim. He only allows water. He only allows you to drink water. Okay. And on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch comes from Tov Pei Aleph Sif Aleph, source 60. He writes, Achar arbakosos eino rashoi lishtos yayin. Other than the arbakosos, he can't even drink wine, elamayim only. And the Ramor writes, kol amashkin dina kiyayin, all other drinks. And the only thing that's allowed is water, and so on. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah discusses other things. Basically, it's a good summary. The Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Aleph. He says, Har Beit Tam and the Eish Vezeh B'Poskim. Okay, some people say a number of reasons why you shouldn't drink anything afterwards. One, to try and stay up all night and talk about Tzipras Yisrael. Most people don't do that. Okay, actually, I saw articles about why we might have to stay up Shavuos night, which is of a more somewhat cryptic origin. Pesach night of din. No one, as far as I know, try and stay up. It says you're supposed to stay up until you're overcome by sleep, which doesn't take long. That's my experience. You know, some people have the minig. I have the minig myself that we say Shir Hashirim after the Haggadah. Some Shir Hashirim is the Megillah of Pesach. We read it in Shul on Shabbos on my Pesach. So I try and say it after the Seder. My wife likes the kibbutz. That way, you don't have to clear in. I'm too busy saying Shir Hashirim. I have to clear in and Shir Hashirim. But she said there was one time she said she saw me fall asleep standing up because I was starting to say Shir Hashirim and I kept nodding off. So I said, I better stand up and say Shir Hashirim and fall asleep. So I was leaning against the wall and I fell asleep standing up. Usually, you're pretty tired at the end of the Seder. That's, I think, most people. But all right, there's no minute to stay up all night, Pesach night. But the Mishnah Berurah therefore says, the whole idea of not drinking afterwards is something like wine that makes you drowsy. But to have a cup of water, something like that, I mean, you're drowsy. That he says, okay. Others say, it shouldn't look like you're in the arbakosa. It also only applies to something like wine. Okay. But others say, no, it's the idea of matzah, and therefore any bashkin, nothing. Nothing's allowed. It doesn't make a difference whether it makes you drowsy or it's alcoholic or not. So those, he said, depending on what the reason is, okay, depending on what the reason is, will impact what drinks are included. And he speaks about ingber vasser, okay, or huadin tay, or apple drinks, okay, apple tea, you know. And many people like to end their meal with a cup of tea on a regular basis, right? So that's a question. What if after that we come on, I just want to have a cup of tea? Again, what the reason is, now that's not going to make you drowsy, you know, well, I guess some tea, like a sleepy time tea or whatever. Okay, but sometimes the caffeine will wake you up, you know. So that's a question of what's included. The Rosh Hashulchan says at the end in Siv Gimel, they go to the end of 62. He writes, or Fiz Tam Zeh, third line, Kol Mashke, the Lord of Chama Medina, anything which is not eligible for the Arbakosas, Chama Medina, like wine and grapes and so on, that's mutter. On the other hand, others say it's not. It depends on what the reason is. And he speaks about third line, Kol Ma, I was reading from something else. I was reading from 63, the Prichodos. Okay. Prichodesh at the end writes in 63, coffee. He allows coffee. Okay, go back to 62 for the Aruch HaShulchan. I'm not putting that in order because the Prichodesh came before the Aruch HaShulchan. But anyway, in the Aruch HaShulchan writes, he says at the end of 62, Bechein etzleinu seltzer, lemonade. And he says there's some people who are not. Part of the discussion. Okay, let's just finish up on this subject because it's an interesting question. As you mentioned, 65, the Brit Yosef, the Chidor, some talk about Sukkot Aleph. He says, Achav Gal also listos kavi. He doesn't allow coffee. And others say, the Poshamani listos coffee. All right, and again, we have Different minhagim is exactly which drinks are included, which drinks aren't included. I printed, even though it's not nogea today, because it's also all the time, but I printed the Shari Tshuva in Source 66. Shari Tshuva talks about smoking, okay? Ishun, okay? Today we know that smoking is dangerous. The health is not allowed to smoke. We know it causes cancer. Okay, the post can agree not allowed to smoke. But at one time, it was not known, and an adraba, it was felt after a meal, asking grandparents, after a meal, people smoked regularly, it's supposed to be good for the digestion. I don't know if it is or isn't. I mean, it may be good for the digestion, it gives you cancer. So it's not, but the people did, they had a smoke. Not, I mean, I didn't already, but my father did. Okay, they had a smoke after a meal. Okay, that was, so quite, are you allowed to smoke? You're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos, obviously, but it's, you know, if you're allowed to smoke, it's considered Mugmar, whatever, not the details now. So that's a question. So the Shari Tshuva says not to do it, because that also, the tobacco, the smell, the flavor of the tobacco also knocks out the matzah. So Shari Tshuva writes, hey, in Source 66, hey, nahakti shalola ashen. I didn't smoke Pesach. Again, we don't smoke at all now. It's not proper to smoke at all, but it's interesting, interesting idea. Okay. Yeah. Then there's a further question, you know, until when? Not allowed to eat after the Afikoman until the whole night? Or maybe just till the end of the Seder? You could say that when the Seder's over, like, oh, bets off, now it's over. I mean, the mitzvah's done, everything's over. So I want to have a cup of tea later. I want to have a piece of cake later, whatever. And how long, that's another question, how long, you know, does it have to be? So the Chok, yeah, then the Balamor, In 67, the Balamor seems to say that once you've said halal already, well, who cares what you do? You can eat anything you want, okay? You can tell me that I don't see any rule for this, okay? Especially according to Balamor, so the whole reason is shouldn't forget about halal anyway. I'm said halal, the Seder's over, so Balamor, not the Seder, okay, once the Seder's over, whatever you like, okay? But not everybody agrees with that, okay? There's a famous Avnei Nezer, which I'm not going to get to now, but Nezer mentioned it, look in 72. The Avnei Nezer raised an interesting question. You know, what about somebody who, you know, because we said that the Afikoman is supposed to be eaten by midnight, right? I think Gemara learns it out. Korban Pesach had eaten by midnight, so the matzah, it's actually a machlokas, the bozo, the item, a kibbutz, not for right now. But the Avnei and the Tshuvas from Shin Pei Aleph has a famous din, famous suggestion. Let's say you have a late-going Seder. Everybody's talking and rushes and this and that and papers, you know. All the kids come with pamphlets and then, you know, there's a guy comes back to the yeshiva, right, and he wants to say over a fancy shtickle Torah, they heard from Rosh Yeshiva, which nobody at the table knows what he's talking about. Chabura Shabbat Pischa, you know, like a nice... a nice longish topic, which are, you know, not exactly crowd pleasers. But anyway, but now you realize it's getting late. It's getting late. It's almost chatzos. It's supposed to be coming by chatzos. So what do? Okay, so you have to rush sometimes to get it in by chatzos. This year chatzos, I think, is 12. Chatzos means not mid 12 midnight. Means chatzos alayla, 12:55, I think it is this year. Okay, so you have to make sure you get in the Afikoman by Chatzos. Some person can say you got to be done with halal. The Abrakos will be done by chatzos. You got to find it. Daphne Neza has an interesting suggestion. Says, one second, he says, the idea of a Elazar Nazario, who's the one who says you got to be doing everything by Chatzos, means you got to be done with it by Chatzos. So then after Chatzos, there's no problem. So he said, if you see it's late, so 5 to 12, you know, 5 minutes before Chatzos, eat a Kazayas right now. Say, if the halacha is like a Elazar Nazario, here's my Afikoman. Then wait. And then after Chatzos, everything's over. Now you can do whatever you like. So finish up with whatever you like. On the other hand, then he says, you need another piece of matzah later in case the Akiva is right, that you can eat the Afikoman later. So now, and the last thing you eat is Afikoman. The point being that according to this approach, once the mitzvah is over, there's no more restrictions. Right? You're allowed to eat after the Afikoman. That's what he's saying. You're allowed to eat after the Afikoman once the mitzvah is over. So according to Elazar Nazario, the mitzvah ends at Chatzos. So that's what Abnei Ezer says. Eat a Kazayas right before Chatzos. So now I'm in the game. I'm in like Elazar ben Azaria, right? I've eaten my afikoman for chatzos, like he says. Now don't eat anything else. Once chatzos arrived, according to Elazar ben Azaria, the mitzvah is done. So now after that, I can eat whatever I like. So now finish your meal. But maybe the halakha is like a bekiva that the matzah is the last thing you eat. You can eat matzah all night long. Good. So you have another piece of matzah later. You hear the one that's a tanai. The Avnezer says you make it tanai. Some of them don't have to specify the tanai, whatever. But that's the Avnezer. They say that the Briskerov like this. It's a sharp idea, right? So, but what the Nogel Inyonenu is that according to this approach, once the Zman of the Mitzvah is over, it's done already. So therefore, one could argue, we do try, once the Mitzvah is over, the Mitzvah is over. Therefore, some would say, there's no problem, no problem, okay? And Chok Yaakov in 75 says, maybe the Mitzvah the second night, it's all things drop on. And anyway, maybe we don't have to worry about it. All right, so anyway, that's just some insight into the idea of not eating or drinking after Yom Kippur. Let me just end with some drush, okay? You hear what I'm saying? And so I think the more widespread meaning lemaisa is that you don't eat anything, even after chatzos. We just don't. It's just you go to bed and keep the tam matzah in your mouth. So I'd just like to end by pointing to something. I looked in the last couple of stories. There's a Gemara in Pesachim, Kufi Gimel Halacha 76. Amar Yochanan, Shlosha Minocha Olam Habo. Three people have a share in Olam Habo. There are different Gemaras that have different things about that. Like for example, remember in Brochus, you say actually three times a day, you have a chelik on Olam Habo, right? You heard that, right? Now, I don't think it means if you're an axe murderer, you just happen to say actually three times a day, you can go straight to Olam Habo. But it means these are things which stand in good stead, So one of them mentioned here is, and the Pesachim Kufi Gimel Halacha, Hamavdil Alayayan Motzoi Shabbosos. Make Abdullah over wine and Motzi Shabbos. Well, that's good. That lets me in, right? I mean, a lot of people do that. That's good. Okay, if that's one thing that brings Olam Habo, I'm in. Okay, drink. Like I said, I don't think it means you do every other bear in the book. You just have to make Abdullah. But it means you're, whatever. That's one of the things that's in your corner. You can check that box. So it says, Amavdel Alayayim Motzoi Shabbos. So the Gemara implies a question. That's such a big deal. That's such a big thing. They make Abdullah and one don't say Shabbos. I mean, my healing voice. So why is that, other things I understand, it says Dar Eretz Yisrael. Look at the first two things that Gemara. You live in Eretz Yisrael. May God help one of us have a Torah. I train my children. Okay, good though. But Magdal Aliyah will say Shabbos. It's a nice, important thing. But why is that such a statement? Oh, you get a chilek on Abba for that. So Gemara says, no, the Meshire Mekidush Lakam, who saves some of the wine from Kiddush to Abdullah. Now, Rashbam there himself in Kufi Gimel Aleph in 77 explains what that means. We can't relate to it. I mentioned this in the past. Wine is cheap. For $5, you'll buy a bottle of wine. Okay, today, right? I mean, wine's not an expensive commodity. And one time it was. One time wine was an expensive commodity. Only rich people had wine and so on. Matter of fact, you might remember the one brachas that they were misakin atachonatanu, Abdullah in the davening, in the Shemoneh Esrei, because they couldn't afford to buy wine. So it wasn't so posh. Today, we don't even think about such a thing. Okay, I think twice about wine, there are expensive wines, but you can get cheap wines too. Okay, anyway, the point being that this is a guy who makes Kiddush Friday night over wine, and he loves to have another cup of wine, he enjoys it. But he knows if he does drinks at night, he's not going to have wine for Abdullah. So he shows that restraint, okay, and he doesn't drink another cup of wine at the meal Friday night or Shabbos lunch to make sure he has for Abdullah. That's already Ben Olam Habo. He shows restraint for the sake of performing a mitzvah. Right? That already shows that we don't understand. I'd like to suggest that Derech HaJewish accepts so for the Tshuva Chelek Racham Shem Memhei. He says a little bit, but I'm just going to build on that and say the following. Maybe it means something else as well. What does it mean? Meshayer Mekiddush Shel Avdalto. You leave over from the Kadosh to the Chol, or from the Kadosh to the Chol, Kiddush Avdalto. Again, technically it means you leave over some of the wine. Okay. But I'd like to suggest what it might mean also is you take from the Kedusha and you let that impact Avdol. You take from the Kedusha of Shabbos and you let that linger into the week. But the Kedusha of Shabbos should inform after Avdol also. Not just the technical thing about the wine, but Meshayer, you leave over from your own kadosh, from Shabbos to Avdol, after Shabbos. Okay? That's the idea of being a Ben Olam Habo. You take, you have an experience in Kedusha, you don't just make that one and out, and now back to business as usual, but you have that Kedusha infuses what comes afterwards, the Yom Chol, by after Abdullah. So I thought maybe we could add on Derech HaDush, that's the idea maybe of this Gemara too. that you should have the tam of matzah should linger in your mouth after the mitzvah is long over. Don't eat or drink anything. You want the flavor of matzah. When I say flavor of matzah, not just the technical flavor of matzah. It means the flavor of what the Haggadah was, what secrets in Yisrael was. People get together with family, discussions at the Seder, beautiful times, talking about our history and destinies of people, you know, everything the Seder represents. That should just be a one and out, okay, or outside of it, so two and out, okay? It should be something that lingers, that stays with you even after the mitzvah is done. You should have that, the impact of what you feel afterwards should be part of informing who you are even after the mitzvah is over. That's the idea. Like, just like Mishayim and Kiddush Avdalta, right? Just so you leave over from Kiddush to Avdalah, not just technically the wine, but the spirit, the feeling of Shabbos should impact your week. The experience of Pesach, which again, you know, sort of presents or outlines the destiny of the Jewish people, the history of the Jewish people, that should be something you take with you. Your Seder experience, your whole Pesach experience should be something which informs even after Pesach is over. So I hope all of you will have such a Pesach, have such a Seder, and what you gain out of a Pesach Seder should be something that lingers long after Pesach, and I'm going to share the Chag Kosher this summer. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.